Wind, wind, blow on me. Wind, wind, set us free. Wind, wind, the Father sends the blessed Holy Spirit. As we open your word now, may that blessed Holy Spirit make it known to us. Amen. Please be seated. Well, first question. Are any of you closet Pentecostals? All right. I see a few hands going up. Some of us, if we've had that background, we don't always want to admit it, because Pentecostals sometimes, in some circles, have the reputation of being a bit crazy. Man, they're always speaking in tongues and doing weird things. And, you know, you go to a Pentecostal church and they're sort of like, oh, all those staid Anglicans and other denominations, they just don't have the spirit. Well, you know that I'm getting Pentecostalism mixed up with Pentecost. And when we think of Pentecostalism, we think of that denomination that speaks in tongues. Not just tongues where other people can understand them, but strange tongues that nobody seems to understand but God. So, what is this crazy, crazy feast all about? We have a little more help at Christmas, don't we? Everybody celebrates Christmas, even people who aren't Christians. It's become like a national thing, an international thing, and we have all of society sort of in sync with us. Same thing happens a bit still at Easter. Even secular society, there's the Easter bunnies, we get holidays, it's all a good thing. It's for some of us the only time where we have a four-day long weekend. But Pentecost, there's no secular holiday being celebrated today, as far as I know. I think in Britain, they used to celebrate the Monday after Pentecost as Whit Sunday, and people had a day off. But what, do they still do that? All right. So our Anglican brothers and sisters in Britain are going to get a holiday to celebrate Pentecost tomorrow. So if you're feeling a bit ill today, you know, you could have a vacation tomorrow. Pentecost, what does it mean? Well, it's from the word 50. It occurs 50 days after Easter. And 40 days after Easter was the Ascension. So basically it was about 10 days where the disciples were literally on their own. Jesus had gone back to heaven. Sometimes we feel like that too. He's gone back to heaven. But what about us? What about us? What do we have of his that we can still call our own? The passage, where's Liz? The passage that Liz read mentioned that there were a lot of people in Jerusalem at the time of Pentecost. What were they doing there? People from Pamphylia and Cappadocia and Pontus and all different places. Well, it's also the Jewish festival of, we think, Shavuot, which is when they celebrate Moses giving the law. So they were starting a whole new life together. And so they were coming to Jerusalem to celebrate. What better time? The giving of the law, the beginning of a new life for Pentecost to happen. And so what are we told? We're told that the disciples, Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. So they were out there witnessing up a storm, and people were being converted right, left, and center. Is that what was happening? No. No, they weren't doing that at all. They were behind closed doors, still under threat by the leaders of the temple, still under threat by the Romans, still a bit afraid. Jesus has now gone back to heaven. They're behind closed doors, probably locked doors. Probably the lights are on because they didn't have lights, so they would have candles glowing. So there's candles going, there's a flame. And what does the story tell us? That they are praying. They did get it right, didn't they? Jesus said, just wait. Wait. You go out now and you try and preach, guess what will happen? Nothing. Nothing. When we're without the Holy Spirit, when we try to do stuff on our own, we either have no results, or the results that we have are so mixed. And we've all heard those people, haven't we, that aren't filled with the Spirit, that aren't filled with the love of God. They go out and they try and make converts, and people don't listen. We've seen it when churches think they can do things without the Spirit. And people just say, I left the church long ago. It was filled with bickering. It was filled with mean people. It was filled with bossy people that were always telling me what to do. When we're without the Holy Spirit, that's what our religion looks like. It's not the religion of God. And so we're told that there, behind closed doors, candles are flickering. And suddenly, a wind starts blowing. I don't know about you, but winds can be good things or bad things. On a hot summer's night, when you're just dripping, it's so hot out, you just can't wait for that breeze to come. Even the tiniest little bit of wind can give you relief and comfort. But then there's another type of wind. A wind when you're out at the barbecue and suddenly all hands on deck because food is going flying and the barbecue's tipping over and people are falling out of their chairs because a strong wind is blowing through. Well, this wind, I think, was a bit of both. That comforting, wonderful, exciting wind, but also a dangerous wind that had blown right through their room, and we're told that it blew around the disciples, and something that looked like little flames of fire landed on the head of each disciple. How strange is that? And yet we're told these are the elements of the earth, aren't they? Wind, fire, the rain that comes from above, baptismal rain coming from above and filling these disciples with the Holy Spirit. And we're told that it had an amazing effect. No longer behind closed doors. Wind, wind, blow on me. Wind, wind, set me free. Suddenly their tongues were set free. Their tongues were set free in the most miraculous way. Because when Peter started preaching, when the disciples started speaking, they weren't speaking in their own Galilean Aramaic. They weren't speaking in languages that they understood, Latin, Greek. They were speaking in the languages of all the people that were there. They're ready to meet God. Think of why these people were there. They were there to celebrate Moses' giving of the law. They wanted to hear the word of God. Well, they were going to hear it all right. They were going to hear it in their own language. Greeks were going to hear it in Greek. Parthians were going to hear it in whatever their language was. Medes were going to hear it in whatever their language was. Isn't that what we all want? To hear the word of God in a language that we can understand. If I'm a kid who's had a really bad dad, and I hear God the Father, that's not going to be a language that I can readily understand. I will maybe later when I've grown in my faith, but you tell me God is like a father? I said, no way, man. I'm not having any of that. So that person needs the language of Jesus as our Savior, Jesus as our brother, Jesus as a little mother hen taking care of her chicks. That's the type of language that person needs to hear. Each of us has our own sorrows, our own pains, our own joys. The gospel comes to us in a language that we can understand, and that's only by the Holy Spirit. We can't do it on our own. The disciples couldn't suddenly be able to speak these languages on their own. Most of them were not that well educated. And those of us who don't speak other languages very well, we know we got to go to school for ages if we want to learn Spanish or French or German. You don't get it in 2 seconds. But that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit opens up our mouths, frees our tongues, blows that wind out in a way that's going to bear fruit. Remember the Ethiopian a couple of weeks ago, making that trip, reading the book of Isaiah? Didn't understand what he was reading. What does Philip do? Philip explains it to him. Sometimes people don't know how to read the Bible. They don't get it. They don't understand it. No one's ever taught it to them. When we have the Holy Spirit within us, it gives us a facility to help people read this language, which is going to seem kind of foreign to a lot of them. And maybe that way they'll meet the Savior, meet the one that loves them. And Jesus tells us, what does this Holy Spirit do also for the world? Well, in John we learn that the world kind of gets things wrong sometimes. It kind of gets things wrong about righteousness. It kind of gets things wrong about sin and about judgment. And Jesus says when the Holy Spirit comes, it's going to help the world understand these things better. Righteousness. If I do enough good things, I'm going to make myself right with God. And God will owe me. God will owe me a good life. God will owe me heaven. God will owe me all the answers to my prayers. That's what some of us think too, don't we? Jesus says when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will teach us what real righteousness is. Being right with God is putting on the beautiful garment of Jesus Christ. I'm righteous because I live in Jesus' righteousness. It's not because of my good deeds. It's because the righteousness of Jesus is now on me. Nothing to brag about. Just something to rejoice in. Which teach the world that they've been wrong about judgment. What was the world's judgment on Jesus? You are guilty. You deserve to be crucified. We see that going on still in the world. Innocent, righteous people brought to justice that isn't justice at all. All we need to do is read the newspapers. People being unjustly treated. And that's before the courts sometimes too. The Holy Spirit is going to teach us what true judgment is. That we don't judge others. We don't. We judge ourselves, but only when we're looking at ourselves through the eyes of our compassionate Lord. He's going to prove the world wrong about sin too. Today the world says there is no sin. If we educate people enough, if we should have shown them the right thing to do, then they're just naturally going to do it. That's not what God says. God says, yes, I created the world good, but it's overlaid with this yucky thing called sin. It's the thing that separates us from God. I got to do something about that sin so that your true goodness, how you were made, will come out. There is such a thing as sin. Again, all we have to do is pick up a newspaper and we see the effects of it in the world. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing for the world. Showing them that their way of viewing things is not right. But God can show them a better way. So that's where we come in. What can the Holy Spirit do for us? St. Paul says that the world is groaning groaning, waiting for redemption to come, waiting for the sons and daughters of God to rise up and show the way, show what real redemption looks like. But we can only do that if we know that we're understood and loved. We need the gospel in our own language. We need to know that God understands us, that he knows the longing of our hearts. We actually say that in our service, don't we? Paul says that the Spirit is within you, groaning with you, with your desires, the things that fill your heart with longing. The Holy Spirit understands that. He understands what you're like. When you pray to God for a certain thing, the Holy Spirit does that translation. Okay, this is what she really needs. This is what he really wants. And the Holy Spirit within us translates our prayers up to God. The Holy Spirit fills us with joy, with hope. That passage says, you know, hope that sees what the end of the game isn't hope at all. The things that we long for, that fill us with desire, Jesus says, I'm going to fulfill that hope for you. I'm going to fulfill it maybe in a way you don't understand. I'm sure that the disciples did not expect the Holy Spirit to come like this. They didn't even know what Jesus meant. Maybe they expected him to come back from heaven. But Jesus had another plan. He says, I'm not going to come back from heaven, at least not right now. We know that eventually he will. But I'm going to multiply myself over and over and over again through my Holy Spirit, through that wind, blow on me. Wind, set me free. I have a feeling that when the disciples were in those rooms or that room, I bet the lights went out. I bet that the candle got blown out. Let's see if I'm tall enough to do this. I bet the lights all went out. And because the Holy Spirit, because the wind was now filling all the people, they got blown out into the world as well. That's what Jesus says to us. You are now the wind in the world. You are now the light, my light, in the world. You are now the salt that's going to bring out the God flavors in the world. As we begin this Pentecost, let's go out trusting that the Holy Spirit will speak through us, will pray through us, will love through us, and see what harvest God brings about because of our Pentecostal spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Proclamation comes to you from St. Saviour's Church and features the sermons of the Reverend Shelley McVie. If you are in Toronto, why not worship with us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m.? Everyone is welcome at our historic Village Church located at 43 Kimberley Avenue, east of Main Street and south of Girard Street East. For more information, visit our website, saintsaviours.ca.